Welcome to this episode of the DHF Podcast. I'm your host, Sam. I'm a church planner and a DHF board member. I have with me as my co-host, Chris Henderson, who's a pastor at First Christian Windsor. And we're going to go back and have a little bit more time with David Walcott. In the previous episode, we discussed what progressive Christianity is, but this time we're turning to something called the Sparkle Creed, and really just the creeds in general, and how historical Christianity and progressive Christianity don't line up. Now, I chose to break this episode into two parts. So if you were watching that last one, you'll see that same ending again, and you'll also see my cat peek in again. But I want to hear from you. Do you guys prefer it when we break things into two parts, or do you guys like it when we go ahead and do the full interview, even if it goes to 50 minutes or an hour? Please, whatever platform you're on, especially if it's YouTube, I see those comments really easily, let us know. All right, and you can also, of course, get a hold of us at discipleheritage.org. Now, with all that said, we're going to dive right back into the interview, already in progress.
Somebody who comes out of the Southern Baptist side in terms of ministry right before going to the church I'm at, creeds meant something. What I've learned since pastoring a restoration background church is they don't care as much about the creeds. But we're talking about creeds, and there are some, obviously, they say that, mm-hmm. but they would all agree with the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, yeah. and so on and so forth.
That no creeds but Christ was about priority, not mm-hmm. not affirming them. You don't lift right. the don't lift a doctrinal creed above.
Yes,
I will actually say.
But I also got to preface it with that because I know our audience that's listening.
That's right.
Yeah.
You see some of these creeds that are coming out on the progressive Christian side of things. I know my wife. We were talking about it before we even hopped on here, sent me the Sparkle Creed. I think it's been a few months now, but that was circulating.
Take your blood pressure medicine.
TikTok, and absolutely, you have to take your blood pressure medicine. She got a short sermon, and it wasn't intended at her, but just from my watching that. So what kind of creeds are you seeing coming from this side, and how does it differ from what we would hold as traditional?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through four creeds. Two are in the Bible. One is the Apostles' Creed that is, you know, fourth century roughly, and then the Sparkle Creed. I'm going to walk through what they are, and then I'm just going to read them. And I'm going to let you, the viewer, hear how very different they are. So the first creed I'm going to pull out is called the Shema. So in Matthew 22, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, that comes from Deuteronomy 6, which is the Shema. It's a creed slash prayer that is a very clear, this is what we're talking about. And the reason I highlight that is because what Jesus did with that is say, it's not just love the divine. Jesus was saying, when you love God, it is this specific God that you are supposed to love. Very specific deity, the God of the Old Testament. Second creed, so that was, you know, effectively the earliest Christian creed because it was from Christ himself. The second creed was developed by Jesus's disciples and recorded by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. And this is the Jesus died, was buried, and rose again creed. And this is legitimately, it dates back to, I want to say he wrote 1 Corinthians 15 in like 50 AD. Most scholars, even scholars who reject Christianity, agree that this creed dates back to within 5 to 10 years of the resurrection itself. Even Richard Carrier, who doesn't believe Jesus existed in the first place, agrees that the core of this creed is authentic to the earliest Christians. So now we've got two creeds that are not first century Christianity, but like first decade Christianity. So then we've got the Apostles' Creed. And the Nicene Creed is a longer version of it, but I'm going to use the Apostles' Creed actually because it's shorter. But both of them were developed within roughly the 3rd to 4th century, and they were developed in response to other beliefs that were coming into the church and that were being spread. And so they were a way to say, okay, no, hold up, this is what we believe. Make it clear, make sure everyone's on the same page. Then in 2021, Reverend Rachel Stokes publishes the Sparkle Creed and she reads it before her church. And then that gets shared by progressivechristianity.org two or three times. And then early last year, I think it was, it went viral again, and it actually like went viral. And so that's now it's, and to be clear, progressive Christians are going to tell you they don't hold to a creed. And I agree. They don't like, they don't have a thing that it's like, I affirm that that represents me. But again, we get into the, okay, but if you're not challenging things you disagree with, then, and you're sharing it and you're endorsing it, you're, you know, you're encouraging it. So that's the history of the creeds. That's what the creeds are. Now let me read them so that you can see how different they are. So Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So that's what Jesus quoted in Matthew 22. Corinthian Creed. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he raised again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to all of these people." So again, early creed that that Jesus' disciples crafted and gave to Paul. Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen." Okay, so far, these all sound very similar. Now take your blood pressure medicine. "I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the Church of Everyday Saints, as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the AIDS quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the call to each of us that love is love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen."
You wonder how they come up with this. I mean, it's not funny, but it is, because it's just
when they give their things of like, you know, we love Jesus, it's like, okay, that sounds great, and then we hear what they mean by Jesus and it's like, that's not the same religion. By all means, and I'm saying this to progressive Christians, if you want to start your own religion, do it. If you want to reject Christianity, I'm fine with that. I do believe there's eternal consequences to that, don't get me wrong, but I'm all for your right to believe what you want to believe. But if you believe something that is so overwhelmingly at odds with Christianity, why are you using the word Christian to describe your beliefs? It's not the same thing, no matter what you try to do with it.
Oh, and there are so many questions I would want to ask a person who really holds this. Like, what do you mean by love? Like, because that's not clear in the creed. You're like, and I guess that's the big practical takeaway is, as pastors, church leaders, ask some of those what we might think as basic questions to your members. Train them to ask that. Mm-hmm. And certainly when you're raising up teachers and things like that, because there is movements like the New Reformation movement, mm-hmm. where people are trained to go into churches with these views and get positions. That's real.
Yep.
Ask some of these things before elders. What do you mean by Jesus? Mm-hmm. What do you mean by love? What do you mean by truth? You know, what corresponds to reality or what you feel like that day? You know, those are two different things. And
two very different things.
pursue understanding what was written or said instead of how it makes you feel.
Yes.
That would be the big takeaway. So you don't get caught by this stuff or any other nonsense.
I was going to say, I know we already have like two podcasts worth of content, probably just the discussion that we've already had. And I'm sure we could keep going in on the Sparkle Creed and some of these. Well, I mean, this one's, a very important topic, but, and we might have to have you back on. This is my, by the way, this is my
passion.
Now, and that's why I hopped on this one yesterday. I saw the email and I was like, okay, I got to get on this one. This is one of my passions too. So, final follow-up question, I guess. What do you say to the church or to the person that's probably sitting here listening and saying, man, some of this stuff sounds like what my pastor has said, or maybe an elder has said, or maybe that I've heard even from those that are healthy Christians, right? Mm-hmm. Things like engaging in love, engaging community, the church being a place that is open for all walks of life to come in, not in the extent of progressive Christianity, but what do you say to that person? And maybe a caution. I know mm-hmm. that you mentioned beforehand, I don't think it was on the podcast, you know, you said you tell people always start with the presumption that it's there, because you're mm-hmm. right. At every church, to some level, there will be some influence, especially with today's upcoming generation of progressive Christianity mm-hmm. coming to the doors of the church. But I can also see this going in the extreme of some people overly looking and mm-hmm. criticizing even some truthful biblical passages of love,
yes.
And writing it off as a progressive Christian.
Yeah, I've event. Seen that.
So, yeah. So, what would you tell the listener that might have that running through their mind as more of a mm-hmm. caution, maybe a put your foot on the brake a little bit, and to distinguish that a little bit?
Yes. So, the first thing I would do, and it's if anyone hasn't, Zoom keeps coming up with my hands. If anyone can't tell, I have a lot of books behind me. That's not a green screen. I'm surrounded by books. So books are always going to be a part of my recommendations. There's three books that I'd recommend that every Christian read. Tactics by Greg Kuchel. That will help you understand how to have difficult conversations. Winsome Conviction by Mulhoff and Langer. What that will do is help you learn to properly weigh your convictions. Where are you willing, you know, what are the essentials? What are the non-essentials? Why would two different groups of people have different ideas of what those are? And my favorite example from that book is a missionary group went to Africa somewhere. And the two different groups ended up challenging each other over which is the worst sin, adultery or tattoos. And there was a lot of conflict with there because of social differences.
Podcast on that, Sam.
Yeah, but well, the conflict, I'll keep it to the tattoos for time. The reason why for the locals tattoos was the problem is because tattoos was a public thing, and in their area, the only reason a person would have a tattoo is because they went to the witch doctor. In America, people get tattoos for any reason. So for us, there is no association naturally between tattoos and witchcraft. Probably a majority of tattoos in America have nothing to do with witchcraft or spiritual much of anything. But in that area, it basically told people, yeah, you went to the witch doctor. So that's why they had such a big problem with it. Winsome Conviction goes through like how to assess that so that you don't accidentally alienate someone just because you see things differently, even though ironically you may both be agreeing that, well, yes, this you know, may be right, this may be wrong, but your reasoning is different. The third book is Finding the Right Hills to Die On by Gavin Ortland. And that one, I don't agree with every conclusion he draws, but what he does is he walks through theological triage of identifying essential doctrine, you know, first tier doctrine, second tier doctrine, third tier doctrine, and what's appropriate separation based on the doctrinal differences. I.e., if you reject that Jesus is God, that is a religious, that is a difference between religion. If you believe that communion should be weekly versus monthly, maybe it's appropriate for you to go to another church, but hey, guys, we're still Christian. That is not a different religion. And so he walks through. So I recommend those three books, generally in that order, but whatever order you're able to get them in, because they'll help you learn to balance between, is this a disagreement I have with them over something that's in-house, or is this really a completely, you know, out, not in Christianity thing? So I'd highly recommend that. The other thing is focus on developing your worldview. Focus on developing why Christian beliefs matter and how they affect the rest of your life. And because part of that is going to help mature you so that you get to where it's like, okay, maybe my pastor has a reason why he's saying these things. Or you start to recognize keywords that you wouldn't have picked up because he's not actually teaching progressive Christianity from the pulpit, but he's laying the groundwork for progressive Christianity. Or maybe he doesn't realize he himself, like I've seen a pastor who was otherwise Orthodox share Brian Zond because the particular Brian Zond quote was a decent quote. Had no idea Zond is a progressive Christian. And so if you work on developing your worldview and hopefully you're doing the same thing within your church, like getting the church to develop it, you'll be in a much better position to work through it. Like, okay, what is it we disagree with? Why do we disagree with these things? How important is this? What level of disagreement is this? And it really should help mature you to the point where you don't go on a witch hunt, because that is wrong. Do not go on a witch hunt. But it will help make sure your walls are shored up so that you don't have people sneaking in, you know, and inadvertently or intentionally bringing in heresy to the church.
Well, hopefully this is like the opening for more interaction with you. I would love to have you back, but also I'd love, if you're listening or watching, for you guys to check out David's website. We'll put a link in our show notes. That way you can go and check and dig in more. I certainly want to have you back to talk about the Enneagram, because that is a hot button issue.
Yes, very big.
Yeah, very big. And I really thank you for joining us. And I thank you, Chris, for stepping in and helping me out with some extra questions. And we thank you guys for listening or watching. We'd love a like, subscribe, anything like that. DHF is a ministry that is from a collection of churches. And we want to not tell you what to do, but we want to help you do what you do. And that is continue to forward the kingdom of God. And so if you want to learn more about us, including conference, podcast, small groups for pastors, all those things, check out discipleheritage.org.